Hello, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming to you live from New York. Happy New Year. Happy 2023, guys. I am coming to you today from the Loud Majority Studio. I want to give a special shout out to my friends Sean Farish and Kevin Smith and Brenna for arranging me to be in here, guys. Producer Frankie, we love him. He's still on vacation. He's still on vacation in Florida, our boy Frankie. So Frankie is out today, but he is going to be back later in the week, and we're going to be back flowing on this show bigger and better than you've ever seen before. I want to welcome everybody in to the show, and I'm very grateful. I want to welcome everybody into this episode here. It is the first episode of 2023. We have a lot to talk about, and guys, you see the culmination of what is going on, especially in the Republican Party, in the inter-Republican Party, is what we're going to spend talking about today. Because guys, something that I've been doing since I for months is talking about the Speaker of the House race. So today we're going to get into the Speaker of the House race. It is happening tomorrow. We have the Speaker race tomorrow, and that is going to be big. We're also going to talk about Anthony Fauci. The Fauci files are going to be coming out, and that should have some heads turning. But in the process, we have things that we're already learning and things that are being leaked and dished out in real time. We're also going to talk about Donald Trump. People are saying, oh, he's in trouble with the pro-life community. He was tweeting bad things about the pro-life community. We're going to talk about that. Some people are getting mad at him, but I'm going to talk about what I believe he meant. Also, Ukraine, what's going on with Zelensky, and Governor Kathy Hochul taking human remains and now using them as fertilizer. No, guys, it's real. We are not conspiracy theorists. So, guys, I want to welcome everybody into this episode of Mike Crispy Unafraid. So grateful for you guys tuning in. Producer Frankie is watching out there, but he will be back in full store, and we're going to be doing some big things as we head into the new year. You better believe it. Frankie and I are working on the show. We're working on making upgrades. We're working on doing all these big things. So stay tuned, because next week we're going to be rolling some of those things out, and I am so excited to share them with you guys. All right, so let's get right into it. The Speaker of the House race is tomorrow. Guys, I say this all the time. The most important vote that a member of Congress can cast is their vote for Speaker of the House. It's the most important vote they'll cast the whole time. Because think about it. This sets the tone for the legislative agenda. This sets the tone for the committee. This sets the tone for the committee assignments and what every committee will do and what they will vote on, what kind of legislation they will get to the floor, what kind of initiatives they will champion in the House of Representatives. You are electing a general, okay? Nancy Pelosi, when she became the Speaker, she changed the rules, okay? She changed the rules, and she made it so the House of Representatives became a top-down system. A top-down system meaning you have a speaker and the bill comes out of their office, it goes to the House floor, and people just vote on it. That's not the way that we have done Congress over the last 200 years, right? It's not the way. It's the way that Nancy Pelosi did it, because she changed the rules. And now Kevin McCarthy, as he is seeking the speakership, as he wants the gavel so bad, as he wants to become the guy just drunk on power, nothing to do with doing anything good for the people. If you guys know Kevin McCarthy and his history, I've talked about it in length. Kevin McCarthy has been bought and paid for by Amazon and big tech. Look at the lobbyists that he has run with in his circles. His closest advisors, I'm reading articles in the Washington Post, his closest advisors still in the midst of this whole speaker race are not members of the Freedom Caucus, are not conservatives. They are the Amazon lobbyists. Matt Gaetz said it best. He answers to his lobbyists. He is a vessel to push lobbyists' special interest agenda. And if that means throwing out a little bait, a little chum to the audience and saying, oh, guys, we're going to go after Mayorkas. We're going to secure the southern border. These are the things that Kevin McCarthy is saying. But in reality, Kevin McCarthy only cares about one thing, and that is his own power. It's all he cares about. And right now, we are 24 hours away from the speaker vote, and I want to give a little call out here to Newt Gingrich, okay, and Mark Levin. Now, you guys might listen to Newt Gingrich and Mark Levin and might think that they are conservatives. Oh, Newt Gingrich, he was a speaker. He's a great conservative. He's on Fox News. Newt Gingrich is a shill for the establishment. I don't know if Newt Gingrich is having cognitive decline like Joe Biden. I don't know what's going on with Newt Gingrich, but Newt Gingrich is throwing a fit right now on Fox News, talking about what will happen if Kevin McCarthy is not the speaker. Newt Gingrich said, does the Republican Party want to be held hostage by a couple of rogue Freedom Caucus actors and not get anything done in the Congress? Why wouldn't they vote for Kevin McCarthy? That's what Newt Gingrich is saying. Mark Levin, same thing. A lot of you guys who watch this show, you guys know Mark Levin. You like Mark Levin. And guess what? Mark Levin right now is also shilling for Kevin McCarthy against patriots in Congress. Mark Levin says, these boneheads, these idiots, are not allowing Kevin McCarthy to have the speakership in which he earned. Speakership in which he earned, I'm sorry. Kevin McCarthy spent millions of dollars against Republicans in their primary, against Trump-endorsed candidates. But Kevin McCarthy is the guy that Republicans should lay behind and acquiesce to? I don't think so. I don't think so. The only defense that I hear for Kevin McCarthy is that there is not enough votes for anybody else to get in. That's what I hear. That there is not enough support for anybody. So let's just give it to him. Otherwise, there's not going to be anybody else. Not one person has said a good thing about Kevin McCarthy that indicates that he will be a champion of our agenda, the America First agenda. Okay, there's been studies going on right now. I've been reading them. The fact that according to primary voters, there is absolutely no appetite that ever again Republicans can win races unless the MAGA vote is compartmentalized and kept happy in the Republican Party. Polling shows that people, there's a solid percent of people, about 30% of people who would rather go and vote third party than vote for the Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, and Kevin McCarthy GOP. So guys, it is coming to a fever pitch, and a lot of people ask me, they're saying, well, how does this work? How does this process work? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? And, you know, I've been grateful. A lot of people have been quoting some of my work on Twitter on this whole thing. But here's what's going to happen, guys. This is tomorrow, okay? So tomorrow, the new Congress will be sworn in. The Republicans have a thin majority of about 5 seats. Why do they have a thin majority of 5 seats? Oh, that's because Kevin McCarthy spent all this money in the primaries to destroy MAGA candidates. And then the people who got over the finish line, MAGA candidates, a lot of them lost their general election. Why? Because all the Oppo research was dumped on them. I'm talking about Joe Kent, where they spent millions of dollars. I'm talking about Sandy Smith, where they spent millions of dollars. And they lost. We didn't have the majority. So, guys, here's what I say about Kevin McCarthy and this whole thing. He is going to tomorrow step up, and he is going to go for the speaker vote. And let me tell you this. He has been running for speaker for 2 years, and he has not acquiesced one bit on anything until last night. So we talked about on this show about the motion to vacate the chair. And a lot of people say, what's that? It sounds like a wonky House congressional proceeding rule. But guys, this is one of the most important rules in Congress. It allows the Congress to have a vote. Okay, it's called motion to vacate. It allows the Congress to call for a vote to remove the speaker if the majority of the caucus believes that they are derelict in their duties. Now, it's a very simple thing. It's always been in place. It's been in place for the last 200 years. But just like everything that Nancy Pelosi did to trample on the Constitution, she removed this from the congressional rules, meaning that you cannot have a vote to remove the speaker for no confidence. It's incredible. Who just changes congressional proceedings? Nancy Pelosi does. And you would think a conservative fundamentally would want to, I don't know, conserve values, conserve what it means to be an American, conserve what it means in our political process. But Kevin McCarthy has been unwilling to negotiate on this rule. And all of the Mark Levins and the Newt Gingriches and the Marjorie Taylor Greens, I'm sorry, Marjorie Taylor Greene, but it's people like that are saying, well, you know, this is good because, you know, the conservatives will have a seat at the table with Kevin McCarthy. And if we don't elect him, we're going to have a compromise candidate. Guys, Kevin McCarthy is the compromise candidate. My sources tell me, and you guys know I've been all over this, because Kevin McCarthy spent money against yours truly in my primary, against 42-year Rhino Chris Smith. My sources tell me today, as of last night, that Kevin McCarthy is still 20 votes short of the speakership. Do you understand what that means? That means that for the first time since 1923, that's 100 years, okay? That's a little bit of a long time. Since 1923, we do not have somebody going into the first day of the legislative session who is equipped to lead the party. First time in 100 years. Is that a normal occurrence? Would you say that the weakest speaker candidate in 100 years is somebody that we should be able to rally behind as default? No, it means there's a serious fundamental problem. Guys, maybe if this like was a normal occurrence where like people were whipping votes at the end of the day and it happens every couple of years where somebody doesn't have the vote, you would say, okay, maybe, you know, it's not a big deal. But guys, first time in 100 years this has happened. It didn't even happen to Nancy Pelosi with her caucus. Think about that. So for the first time in 100 years, we have a speaker guy who is in the forefront, who is going for the votes. He gets on Fox News and all he can say is not I'm going to be an advocate for conservatives. It's not I'm going to do things like go after Joe Biden. He actually said impeachment's off the table. All he's doing is throwing chum out to the base because he thinks we're stupid. He thinks we can be manipulated. And last night, breaking news here, I tweeted this. Kevin McCarthy said that he will agree. He's going to give in to the motion to vacate the chair. He's going to give in to it. Interesting. So for 2 years, he was unwilling to bend on the rules. And last night, he agreed to the motion to vacate. Interesting. So why did he wait until the night before to do something that you would say that any normal conservative would agree to if they believe in the Constitution? Kevin McCarthy doesn't believe in the Constitution. He believes in his own power. That is it. That's it, guys. So Kevin McCarthy agreed to the motion to vacate. It tells you two things. One, he's woefully short. No matter what Newt Gingrich in his cognitive decline says. Okay, Newt Gingrich needs to go to the beach and he needs to hit the treadmill and he needs to stay out of Fox News and never go back on the air. Because Newt Gingrich is throwing a temper tantrum. Five Republicans are holding up everything and this is not the way it should be. You're wrong, Newt. He's 20 votes short. That's historic. That's a fundamental problem on McCarthy, not on the caucus. So what we're having here is that he's 20 votes short. It also tells you he has no ideology because he's been unwilling to bend on it until he has to. And we have breaking news here coming to the show. A group of Republicans sent a letter that says Kevin McCarthy's motion to vacate acquiescing is not enough. That the progress has been helpful, meaning that what he's given into has been good because motion to vacate is a good thing. But it is not enough for them because so many of the other rules and procedures he has not given into. Kevin McCarthy is trying to do the bare minimum in order to attain the speakership. The bare minimum. It's what he wants. So he agreed to the motion to vacate, and I want to shout out these Republicans. Representative Scott Perry, Representative Paul Gosar, Andy Ogles, Anna Paulina Luna, Eli Crane, Chip Roy, Dan Bishop, Andy Harris, Andrew Clyde, and Matt Gaetz is leading the charge on that. You also have Andy Biggs leading the charge on that. So many of these people. So they released this letter yesterday saying that it was not enough out of McCarthy, which is a good thing. And this tells you that this letter will tell you that he is still over 10 votes short. And today he is going to be cutting every backroom deal possible in order to get these votes. And my sources tell me also, and again, all the people out there, again, I want to throw shade at people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I'm just telling the truth. She has to do what she has to do. I've said this from the start. She is not being in good faith when she goes on War Room or these things. She has to say it for some reason. We'll never truly know why, but something is being held over her head. Now, what Kevin McCarthy is going to do over the next 24 hours is negotiate ad nauseum and do whatever he can to get those votes. And my sources tell me that includes having Democrats possibly abstain when the vote goes to the floor tomorrow. Meaning if Democrats abstain, then the majority threshold needed goes down. So you need 218 to be the speaker. If Democrats abstain on the floor, meaning they don't vote for either one, they say we're not going to vote. If that happens, then Kevin McCarthy's threshold will go down. And if Kevin McCarthy wins, he will be the speaker. But if that happens, guys, that tells you everything you need to know about this spineless worm. Because the Democrats will have put him in. Republicans aren't going to abstain tomorrow. And if the Republicans do abstain, then you know who the enemy is. Because they're the most disingenuous people. They're not abstaining because they can't make up their mind. They're abstaining because they want to help McCarthy get in, and he's cutting deal. Well, you'll be able to tell your constituents that you didn't really vote for me, but it's going to help me out. Oh, I promise this Democrat caucus these things if you abstain and the 218 vote goes down. Guys, if this happens tomorrow, you know exactly what Kevin McCarthy is about. And I am predicting that he will be short. And people say to me, well, Mike, what happens if he's short? How does the congressional procedure work? What's going to happen? Because, again, we have a lot of people who watch this show when we're trending up like over 700 people live. We'll have thousands of people watching the show in this channel. I don't think any of you have been alive since 1923, maybe like one or two have been alive since 1923. If you're out there and you've been alive since 1923, send me a comment below and we will send you a special LFA t-shirt. But none of you have been alive since 1923, so you're like, well, what happens? What happens? This is unprecedented. The country's under attack like we've never seen before. And we don't know what's going to happen because it happened in 100 years. So what happens, guys? Here's what happens, because I've been poring over this wonky congressional procedure. So basically tomorrow, after the new members get sworn in, they're going to go to the House floor, and the first thing they will do is vote for the Speaker. So Kevin McCarthy is going to be the guy, because he was the guy who came out of the Republican caucus a couple weeks ago as the nominee, because he had the majority. He had 188 votes. So he had 188 votes, which is extremely short, 218. He's going to go to the House floor. Hakeem Jeffries will be the nominee of the Democrats because he is the minority leader of the Democrats. So he will be up because it happens all the time. The Speaker, there's an election for Speaker. And obviously every single time in the last 100 years, the person who gets elected is the party that's in majority. So you guys don't even know that usually you have a guy who is in the race, a Democrat, or McCarthy running for it. So it's an election. It's an election in an election. So Kevin McCarthy will run against Hakeem Jeffries, who is the new minority leader, and what's going to happen is nobody's going to get the necessary votes in the first ballot. And what happens when nobody gets the necessary votes in the first ballot is nothing happens. You guys understand that? Nothing will happen. What does that mean, nothing will happen? What it means is that the only thing Congress will do is do another ballot and another ballot and another ballot. And people say to me, well, so if Kevin McCarthy doesn't get it, well, then the Democrats are going to get it. That's not true. That's a fake news psyop being purported on you. It's not what happens, okay? It's absolutely not what happens. Because let me tell you guys this. What happens is you need 218. You don't need a simple majority. You need 218 in order to be the Speaker. So a Democrat cannot get it. It is a fake tactic. The only thing that could happen is a different candidate that Republicans and Democrats agree on will be then nominated, and some Democrats will vote for that candidate, and a caucus of Republicans will vote for that candidate, and they're saying that is the quote-unquote moderate candidate that will challenge McCarthy's Speaker and be put up at the last minute. That's what the McCarthy folks are saying as a disinformation campaign against you, because they think you're stupid. Because let me tell you guys something. The Democrat candidate is McCarthy. The Rhino candidate is McCarthy. You guys saw a group of elected members, the swing district Republicans, they call themselves, released a letter. They released a letter, I think it was on Friday, right before the new year. And they said, this was led by Mike Lawler, okay? Now, Mike Lawler is a new elected representative out of swing district in Westchester, New York. And Mike Lawler, I know him because I'm from New Jersey, and he is a partner in a political operative firm, essentially a political campaign firm, that runs all of the establishment hack races in New Jersey. And they all lose. They all lose. It's amazing. They lose local races like it's nobody's business. They're in the business of losing races and running weak campaigns, okay? They do the opposite of what Glenn Youngkin did in Virginia, because you guys saw the New Jersey race where it was close with Jack Cittarelli. Jack Cittarelli should have won that race. He didn't win the race because his campaign consultants, a.k.a. Mike Lawler, who's this elected representative in New York, and a guy named Chris Russell, they told Jack Cittarelli, do not run on the LGBT sex curriculum being pushed in school issue. Don't run on it. It's too divisive. That's what they said. So let me ask you guys this. You got Mike Lawler leading the charge here. Okay. Mike Lawler leading the charge. And all of these swing district Republicans are saying, we will only vote for Kevin. That's what they're saying. We'll only vote for Kevin. Interesting. You're only going to vote for Kevin McCarthy. Why are they saying that? They're saying that because they know that their district depends on McCarthy's congressional leadership PACs donations in order for them to have any success in the future of winning re-election. Because those are candidates. You always wonder, how do these milquetoast candidates that inspire nothing, how do they keep getting reelected in these swing districts? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they play ball with the establishment, and the establishment pours in obscene amounts of money into the races in order to help these swing candidates win. So case in point, a guy like Mike Lawler, who won his swing district against the chair of the Democrat Congressional Committee. I forget what his name is. He won that race. Do you know, I looked over the finances in the FEC. And do you know that Kevin McCarthy's PAC spent almost $5 million on him? $5 million. Now, they spent millions of dollars against people like Joe Kent. They spent millions of dollars against people like Sandy Smith, against people like Madison Cawthorn, against people like Gibbs in Michigan. They spent all this money against, but they gave all this money to people like Mike Lawler and these swing district Republicans. And they want the swing district Republicans in there because they are happier with those people helping the majority than real MAGA conservatives. Why? Because MAGA conservatives will hold the feet to the fire of the leadership, and people like Mike Lawler and these other people that signed that letter, go look it up, they will go along with McCarthy's agenda. Now, two questions that I get, very typical. People say to me, Mike, one, if not McCarthy, who will be the speaker? Interesting question. People say Representative Annie Biggs is running in Arizona. Now, I hear from my sources that Andy Biggs is not seriously running for the speakership. That's unfortunate. He's a good conservative, but he does not have the support needed from a broad enough coalition in order to get the votes. It's just the reality. I'm not saying he wouldn't be a good speaker, but I'm just telling you the reality of what I hear, and I talk to sources all the time in D.C. about this. Because, again, I ran for Congress. I was mixing it up. Kevin McCarthy spent money against me in my primary, so he kind of band together with the other conservatives and say, okay, what's going on here? So I hear that Andy Biggs does not have the votes. I also hear that Steve Scalise, and I've been saying this now for months, and it has now been reported as recently as last week in Newsmax, they're starting to pump this out a little bit more, and you see McCarthy's team starting to run a little recon on Kevin McCarthy, on Steve Scalise. They're saying things like, oh, you know, Steve Scalise doesn't have what it takes and this and that. They're like allies and friends for the most part. But at the end of the day, in Washington, brute force power means everything. So Steve Scalise is negotiating with the Freedom Caucus to agree to terms that are a little bit more appealing, a little bit more of an appetite than what Kevin McCarthy would agree to. And in the 11th hour, they can throw Kevin McCarthy aside and put in Steve Scalise. And people are saying, well, Steve Scalise isn't a conservative. I agree. He's not our guy. But Kevin McCarthy sets a dangerous precedent if he gets elected tomorrow. A dangerous precedent. The precedent is a Paul Ryan 2.0. The precedent is a conservative who spends money to manipulate primary races, throw a larger majority intentionally to have controlled people that will vote for him and tank a potentially bolder legislative agenda from coming into the Congress to get work done for the American people, because all he cares about is his own power. That will be dangerous if we reward that. So I say we do not reward that type of behavior. And a lot of people tell me, Mike, why does Kevin McCarthy have the support of Donald Trump? People say this to me all the time. I'm like, why is Donald Trump supporting Kevin McCarthy? And I know exactly why. And I'll tell you guys this if you're new to the show. One of Donald Trump's key advisors is a guy named Brian Jack. I want you guys to look up a guy named Brian Jack. Brian Jack is on the payroll, if you look through FEC documents, on the payroll of Kevin McCarthy. Okay? He's one of his top advisors. This is written out there. And he also has found his way on Donald Trump's for president campaign. Brian Jack pushed fake polls into Donald Trump's face during the endorsement process during this last cycle, intentionally to sabotage candidates who would be loyal to him and prop up Rhino candidates that Kevin McCarthy wanted. I know this because I personally went through it, guys. Brian Jack put fake polls in front of Donald Trump's face that said that yours truly was losing 8-50 against the 42-year incumbent that I was primarying. And this isn't personal. I'm just telling you facts. Like, I have a grudge. I don't care. This is better. I could tell the truth unchained and talk to the people in bold, unafraid fashion. I'm so honored to do it. This is better. But this is what they do. They push fake poll and disinformation. And you think about Donald Trump. He's one guy surrounded by a beehive. He's got things coming at him from all angles. And right now you have Brian Jack pushing the Kevin McCarthy thing. And it's not good. So I could think that Donald Trump's wrong. He's wrong on this. Kevin McCarthy would do nothing for the party that we need to fundamentally fix the country once and for all. He won't do it. He will not do it, guys. He won't do it. And I want to move on here as we're talking about the Kevin McCarthy saga. And let's take a quick break and do some live chats here first.
Hey everybody, Mike Crispy here, and I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of our show today, Patriot Cigar Company. Go to mypatriotcigars.com and use promo code CRISPY for 15% off your order at checkout. Know a patriot who loves a good smoke? This is the perfect gift for any occasion. These cigars are handmade from Nicaragua using the finest tobacco that is aged a minimum of 3 years. I smoke them. I like to have them on the golf course. Or in studio. Great cigars, great value. Go to mypatriotcigars.com right now. Use promo code CRISPY at checkout. 15% off your order. Enjoy the rest of the show. Let's go. Hey everybody, Mike Crispy here, and I'm going to tell you about the sponsor of our show today, MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order. Not just pillows, they have Giza Dream Sheets, dog beds, slippers, you name it, amazing products made in the USA. Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, is a great patriot who is under attack by the deep state. So shop for amazing products made in the USA, and it all goes to a great cause. Additionally, go to mystore.com and use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order and get amazing products made by United States entrepreneurs. Coffee, things for your car, home appliances, you name it, mystore.com, your everyday needs. Go shop at mystore.com. Go shop at mypillow.com. Use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order. Support the great Mike Lindell. Get great products made in the USA.
All right, guys, so we're going to get right on back into it right now. And we're going to move on here because I want to talk about something with Donald Trump before I go to Fauci. So this is an interesting one, guys. And this is shows you, before we move on to this new Fauci stuff and the Fauci files, I want to touch on something that came out yesterday. And you had people, Republicans, and I had nothing personal against them, but you know, you had one of these guys on OAN calling out Donald Trump. And listen, I'm the first one. Again, so two things about me if you're new to this show. One, I supported Donald Trump the first day he announced that he was running for president. I said, this guy's going to be the president. So day one supporter. But I've not been afraid to call out Donald Trump where he's wrong. Called him out for what he did with Kevin McCarthy. You guys have seen that. I've called him out for his for him being impartial in the Ronna McDaniel Romney versus Harmeet Dillon chairman battle. That's important. I don't think he should be neutral. I think he should be making an endorsement, right? So I'm not afraid to call out Donald Trump where I think he could do better. I'm not. But people are getting on his case for something, and I want to defend him for a Truth Social post that he put out yesterday. And people are saying, well, he's not conservative for saying this. He's not conservative. Here's what he put out on Truth Social, okay? It wasn't my fault that Republicans didn't live up to expectations in the midterms. I was 233 and 20. It was the abortion issue, poorly handled by many Republicans, especially those that firmly insisted on no exceptions, even in the case of rape, incest, or life of the mother. That lost large numbers of voters. Also, the people that pushed so hard for decades against abortion got their wish from the U.S. Supreme Court and just plain disappeared, not to be seen ever again. Plus Mitch's stupid ass. That's good. That's Donald Trump. That's the Queens in him right there. So guys, very interesting that Donald Trump said that, and conservatives, some of which jumped and said, Donald Trump is blaming the pro-lifers for the midterm woes. Hold on right there. Donald Trump is absolutely right. And it doesn't make him anti-pro-life. I'll tell you why. Because yours truly, I'm very pro-life, 100% pro-life. But what Donald Trump is saying is that 7 weeks before the election, this is what he's alluding to, 7 weeks before, and this is how I know that the Kevin McCarthy brand, okay, the Mitch McConnell brand still has their meaty paws all over our MAGA party. If you guys remember, a little throwback, this is what Trump is talking about. You had Lindsey Graham from the Senate. Lindsey Graham, a guy, some people like Lindsey Graham. If you like Lindsey Graham, stop it right now. And when he's not giving you sound bites for Fox News on Sean Hannity's show, big faker Sean Hannity, when he's not doing that, Lindsey Graham is stabbing us in the back, pushing foreign wars because he is the worst. But Lindsey Graham said, we need to have, 7 weeks before the election, we need to have a federal abortion ban. No exceptions. Now that the Supreme Court has done what they do, we need to have a federal abortion ban immediately. Now, a lot of people celebrated that and said, this is great. And I think a federal abortion ban is great too. I'm extremely pro-life. However, here's the nuance here. Here's how these people manipulate you guys, because I know our show is very pro-life. I know we have a great Christian audience here. I am with you. But you know what matters in life? It's not what you say. It's what you do. And it is called winning and wins. And saying you want to ban abortion does nothing to actually ban abortion. You know what bans abortion? Passing a bill that bans abortion. That is what does it. But what they did was Lindsey Graham and Chris Smith in the House, guy I ran against, yours truly, they got up there and said, we need to have a federal ban on abortion. They said it 7 weeks before the election. Now, people would say, well, why would you do that 7 weeks before the election? Wouldn't you just rather wait? Wouldn't you rather wait 7 weeks, not talk about the issue so it's not at the forefront of voters' minds, not allow Democrats to spend millions of dollars to fundraise off it? Because again, we all agree, abortion's terrible. Abortion's vile. It's wrong. It's inhuman. 100%. But we have to understand, we want power. We want to get the seat so we can implement what we know is right. And we know an abortion ban is right. But if you want to ban abortion, what you do is you get the power first, and then you ban abortion when you have a larger majority. So when Lindsey Graham said that, people in the pro-life community were saying, this is great. But what he actually did was he was taking a shot at you, the pro-life community, because he wanted to push that so abortion can never be banned, and so it would hurt Republicans because they would have to then talk about it. Now, again, we're all for talking about banning abortion. We're all for talking about pro-life causes. I would rather us ban it than just talk about it. I would rather us save the lives than talk about saving the lives. Do you understand? So that's something that Donald Trump said, and I agree that he is 100% right about that. Now, moving on here, and people are asking me, Mike, in the midst of all this stuff, we have duplicitous members of Congress. Who should be the speaker? That's what I'm getting live chats right now. Who should be the speaker? And I will tell you guys right now that the Speaker of the House, I believe, should be, and I'm hearing this out of Washington, I don't know if he's going to get across the finish line, but I'm hearing from good sources that people are trying to organize Lee Zeldin as the Speaker of the House. We'll see if that happens. We'll see if that happens. I don't know, but I've heard it now from three sources, three independent sources that do not know each other, three sources telling me that Lee Zeldin is a guy that conservatives are trying to convince and rally to be the guy to get the votes. Now, I don't know if Lee Zeldin can get there, but if he can't get there and Steve Scalise is the guy, I will say this to you guys as a message here, and you heard it here first, because it's going to happen tomorrow. If Steve Scalise is the guy, do not be that upset, because although Steve Scalise is not our guy, Steve Scalise will be better than McCarthy by a hair. He's not good. He's not good, but he'll be better by a hair, and it will forever set the precedent in perpetuity that you cannot lie and spend money and acquiesce and do all the BS that McCarthy's done. And a lot of people are saying, no, not Steve Scalise. And listen, I agree, I don't like Steve Scalise, but on this show, I report what I hear from people in D.C. and my sources. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not telling you what you want to hear. What you probably want me to say is, you know, oh, Matt Gaetz for speaker. And listen, I love Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz doesn't want to be speaker. You probably want me to say Jim Jordan for speaker. Guys, I love Jim Jordan, but he doesn't want to be the speaker. He wants to be the head of the Judicial Committee. And people, Cindy Lou Who, great supporter of the show in the live chat. I'm from Louisiana. I can't stand Steve Scalise. I don't like him either. I don't like him either. But there is nothing more of a threat to the Republican Party and the future of it than Kevin McCarthy becoming the next speaker. And people say to me, who's the sources? Guys, listen, you have to trust me on it. You have to trust me on it, okay? Because if I told you the sources, they're not going to give me the information anymore. People in Congress, there are members of Congress that I know, okay? And they are people who work for these campaigns, active members, do fundraising with them, do campaign work for them. They're in D.C. These are the people that I got to know during my campaign. So, guys, as we come into the new Congress, as we tomorrow swear in new members, one of the most important things I think, two of the most important things I think, in this new year, in the year 2023, is going to be, one, holding Anthony Fauci accountable for what I believe are nothing short of crimes against humanity. That's number one thing I want to see of the new Congress. And the number two thing I want to see out of the Congress is unraveling the January 6th false flag operation on our Capitol. Those are two very important things. Okay, I'm going to start with the January 6th thing. So there are text messages out right now that have been released from January 6th depositions and stuff like that. And a guy named Ray Epps, you guys probably know Ray Epps. A guy named Ray Epps said in text messages, I'm reading this to you, that he orchestrated, he texted his nephew on January 6th, I orchestrated the break into the Capitol. He orchestrated it. Is Ray Epps paying a price right now? Is Ray Epps gone to jail? I also know right now, and I talk to the families, that people are still sitting in these gulags. And Republicans, and this is another thing I hear from people in D.C. and my sources, that Republicans do not want to touch the January 6th prisoner issue. They don't want to touch it. And to me, that tells you everything you need to know about these people. It tells you that they're selfish. It tells you that they're putting their own reelection before what is right. We're a, Abraham Lincoln said it, we're a great country because we're a good country. And what is a good country? A good country doesn't lock up political dissidents. A good country has members of the elected congressional delegation that say, we're going to stick up for people who are locked up as political prisoners. And we know what the FBI did. We know what they did. We know that nobody's found the pipe bombers. We know that Ray Epps is saying these things. He literally said it. I orchestrated it. And you have people who are on the grounds who are now doing time, thrown into solitary confinement, being treated like dogs and animals right now. So let me tell you this. This new majority, the thinner majority than we would have had if Kevin McCarthy wasn't sabotaging it, that majority would have worked to get the January 6th prisoners out. Unfortunately, what we have right now, I am not wholly optimistic that they will hold them accountable. But it needs to be held accountable, because if you guys look through history, this is a textbook thing that they do in foreign countries. If you look up the CIA's interference in foreign governments in foreign countries, what do? They overthrow regimes, they manipulate elections, and they stage events in order to push their political agenda. So they've been doing it for 50 years in other countries, and now they did it in America for the first time because they had to get Donald Trump out of power because he was the one man that ascended to the presidency and broke the system, and they could not stand him to be in there for 4 years, because if he wasn't having to face re-election and he can act in an unchained manner, he would have done things to fundamentally destroy the deep state. If you listen to Mike Flynn's Tucker Carlson Today interview, talk about the deep state that destroyed him, he was going to take a shot and totally dismantle the deep state. Okay? So will that happen in the new Congress? That's one of the most important things. Will the new Congress do anything about January 6th? Because we all know January 6th, we do not know the truth about it. It's not been published. But we know from just our good inferences and looking through history that once they stole the election, they needed to have a cover-up. They needed to have something that would get people's minds off the stolen election and get people's minds onto Orange Man Bad. Orange Man Bad. And so they stayed January 6th, meaning they had good people at the Capitol. They entrapped them by having FBI agents rally up the crowd, a.k.a. Ray Epps, who is not facing any consequences. Okay? So that is the situation, guys. That is where we are at. So that's the first thing that I have a bone of contention with. Now, the second thing that I have a bone of contention with that I think that Congress will need to do is they will need to hold Anthony Fauci accountable. Because Anthony Fauci purported one of the worst crimes on the history of our nation. Anthony Fauci is not the good doctor that the media manipulated and told you that he was. Anthony Fauci historically has done things that have been shady and against the interests of people. Do you guys understand that Anthony Fauci, the NIH that Anthony Fauci led, received $350 million in royalties from Big Pharma? So guys, you understand Anthony Fauci is a mob boss. He has run the NIH, and they launder money and they pillage and they get money in from the Big Pharma companies. Those are the kickbacks so they could push their vaccines onto you, into children's bodies. The scientists are complicit. The doctor medical industrial complex is complicit. All the independent medical practices are bought out by large hospital chain conglomerates that go along with what the big guy says. And that erodes independent medicine. And Anthony Fauci is at the tip of the spear at the head of the NIH. So do you guys understand that Anthony Fauci, just to give you a snapshot of who he is and what I believe will come out with the Twitter files, is that Anthony Fauci received $350 million in royalties from big pharma companies. Okay? So what that means is a lot of these scientists who work at the NIH have also been involved in research and patents and all these things. And they get money for their independent businesses, right? The things that they've done to help these big pharma companies. And that is then reported up to the NIH. The NIH has those documents. And all of the FOIA requests, okay, the Freedom of Information Act requests, the NIH has sat on those requests for years. Excuse me. They will not release the FOIA information. And the information they have released has been redacted, meaning we know total numbers. We know the number is 350. It's basically everybody under Anthony Fauci. Think of him as the mob boss. Everybody under Anthony Fauci has received $350 million in kickbacks from the big pharma companies. We don't know the exact dollar figures. We don't know what was paid by which big pharma companies. We do not know, but we know from the FOIA process. And again, the NIH is totally in contempt because they haven't released all the information and done the transparent things. And then what do you have to do? They have to take them to court and you have to sue them. And you have to go through an arduous process to get this information and pull it out of them. And they just go, you know what? Damned be the law. We're just not going to follow it. And then you could sue us and we'll go to court for the next 5 years to figure it out. And it'll get messy. But by then we have incrementally and fundamentally changed the country forever. And there's nothing you can do about it. That is the Fauci and NIH doctrine, okay? That's what the Fauci doctrine is. And it has also come out, and this was on the Jimmy Dore show. Jimmy Dore, shout out to him, did some great work. He had Dr. Jay Bhaktaricharya, I believe that's the pronunciation, I'm definitely butchering it, on his show. I was watching his show, and he was talking about Scott Atlas. Some of you guys know Scott Atlas. He was one of President Trump's advisors, a Stanford head of neurology or something like that, very high up in the Stanford medical school. A smart guy, an independent guy. He was one of Trump's advisors, and he was putting information and studies in front of Anthony Fauci and Deborah Brix. You guys remember her, them? Brix, she's disappeared. Mission accomplished by her, putting information in front of their face. And they were essentially treating Scott Atlas as the enemy. Scientific empirical data that says the lockdowns that were being done on us were not effective. This happened in July. The lockdowns were not effective. And that scientifically, all it was doing was hurting the economy and not stopping the spread of quote unquote COVID at all. But Dr. Anthony Fauci and Deborah Brix worked to push out Scott Atlas. And then at Stanford University Medical, all of these scientists there signed a letter saying that Dr. Scott Atlas was practicing quote unquote pseudoscience, and they discredited his name. And the guy who led the charge on that letter at Stanford was one of Fauci's very good and longtime friends in the science community. So they destroyed any dissenting opinion on lockdowns. Ask yourself why that is. Ask yourself why they did that. Perhaps they wanted to lock down the country. All the Biden regime does is post these charts that say, oh, the Biden regime, never an administration, always a regime. The Biden regime created a historic amount of jobs. Yeah, all the jobs that were lost with COVID intentionally were recreated by the Biden regime. And then they always have this like chart that has Donald Trump as like a negative job created figure, which is totally disingenuous and a lie. But they do that on purpose. That is the manipulation. That is the sabotage being run on you right now. So do not fall for it, guys. Anthony Fauci is a sick man. He is not a decent guy. Do not let moderates try to paint that face that he's this good person. Anthony Fauci spent $420,000 to kill beagles and dogs. Think about it. Dogs, beagles, lock their head in a cage and have flies, these mutant flies eat their head and cut out their vocal cords. We don't do that in America. That's science that you hear in the Congo, in Africa. It doesn't happen in America. But Anthony Fauci, that goes to show the moral bankruptcy that this man has. So is anybody going to hold Anthony Fauci accountable in this next Congress? Do you think that people like Mike Lawler are going to hold Anthony Fauci accountable? You think any of these McCarthy sycophants are going to hold Fauci accountable? You think that big tech that colluded with Anthony Fauci and the NIH and all these organizations, you think that big tech that who's big tech have the control of? Kevin McCarthy. You think that Kevin McCarthy, who's in bed with big tech, who's in bed with Fauci's NIH, you think that they're going to have any accountability for any of these platforms whatsoever? When Kevin McCarthy answers to big tech and big tech answers to Anthony Fauci, guys, it is one big uniparty swamp game being run on you. Do not fall for it. And damn be the Newt Gingriches and the Mark Levins of the world who are trying to sell you that this is okay, who are trying to tell you that we need to elect Kevin McCarthy so we can push the agenda. Push what agenda? We're in dire times for the country. We're never going back. We have crossed the Rubicon. The next couple of years for this country are pivotal. If we do not have a bold agenda that empowers the conservatives and gets them excited for 2024, and we do not win the 2024 election, we're not going to have a country anymore. So you think Kevin McCarthy's agenda is going to inspire conservatives? No, it is going to tell people they do not listen to me. They do not care about me. And guess what? Kevin McCarthy doesn't care. He doesn't care. All he wants is brute force power. He wants to send money to Ukraine. And another report coming out here with Ukraine is that Zelensky has been totally, and this is incredible, okay, Zelensky, this neo-Nazi regime in Ukraine, because that's what they are. They are Nazis. They are shutting down media companies. They are silencing the press. They have banned religious organizations. They are terrible. And this is the country that they launder billions of dollars through. Ukraine. COVID stopped right as Ukraine started. Pulled out of Afghanistan. New money launder. Ukraine. And this is where we find ourselves. And Kevin McCarthy said when Zelensky was speaking in front of our Congress in the People's House in a freaking sweatshirt, he said, "I never said blank check, but we need to continue funding them." Guys, any dollar we continue to give Ukraine is a money laundering scam. And anybody leading the House that supports the Ukraine nonsense is in on it, because you can't justify the fact that we're simultaneously winning the war and that we need to keep pouring in billions of dollars. Okay, that we simultaneously have homeless veterans on our streets, disabled children who do not get the care they need from the school system, the same school system that is pouring tax dollars in the new budget this year to push the LGBT, to push bathrooms in schools that have litter boxes because children now identify as quote-unquote furries, animals. Think about that. So they're going to put taxpayer money into that for children in the schools. They're going to send money to Ukraine, but we're not going to help children with disabilities or people who have paid into the system who are homeless. This is where we're at right now, guys. And it is an unimaginable turn of events. And we're going to take a quick break right now, and we're going to do some live chats here as we're going, guys. I appreciate everybody tuning into this episode. You guys.
Hey, everybody. Mike Crispy here. And I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of our show today, Patriot Cigar Company. Go to MyPatriotCigars.com and use promo code CRISPY for 15% off your order at checkout. Know a patriot who loves a good smoke? This is the perfect gift for any occasion. These cigars are handmade from Nicaragua using the finest tobacco that is aged a minimum of 3 years. I smoke them. I like to have them on the golf course. Or in studio. Great cigars, great value. Go to MyPatriotCigars.com right now. Use promo code CRISPY at checkout. 15% off your order. Enjoy the rest of the show. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Mike Crispy here. And I'm going to tell you about the sponsor of our show today, MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order. Not just pillows. They have Giza Dream Sheets, dog beds, slippers, you name it. Amazing products made in the USA. Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, is a great patriot who is under attack by the deep state. So shop for amazing products made in the USA, and it all goes to a great cause. Additionally, go to mystore.com and use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order and get amazing products made by United States entrepreneurs. coffee, things for your car, home appliances, you name it, mystore.com, your everyday needs. Go shop at mystore.com. Go shop at mypillow.com. Use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order. Support the great Mike Lindell. Get great products made in the USA. Thanks for tuning in.
If you support the show, I need one quick favor from you. I need you guys right now to go on your phones as you're traveling back from New Year's, as you're doing your thing. I need you guys to help us not just stay on the Rumble leaderboards, but stay on the Apple Podcast leaderboard. We're moving up. Guys, more eyes on this show, more exposure on this network helps us grow. This is the new age here. Now Fox News, controlled by a couple of advertisers that tell them to simp for Kevin McCarthy. Nope. We are powered by you. So help us grow. Numbers is what gets us there. Guys, do me a favor. If you have an iPhone, go to Apple Podcasts right now and subscribe to Mike Crispy Unafraid. You, yes, you. I'm talking to you. You got about 800 people watching. Go do that right now. That is Mike Crispy Unafraid on Apple Podcasts. And if you don't have an iPhone, go to Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, pop in Mike Crispy Unafraid and hit the subscribe button. That's the plus sign in the top right corner on Apple. That's the follow button right in the middle on Spotify. Do that and maybe leave me a 5-star rating if you got a minute, and you'll never miss an update of the show. A lot of people, I speak really fast because I'm a New Yorker, an Italian, Jersey boy now. So I speak fast. It's a lot of stuff. If you want to listen to it when you're going to the gym, if you're on the road, you're picking up the kids from school, want to play it in the car, great way to do it is on the podcast outlet. So help us grow and everything, guys. I'm really appreciative of all the support that you are showing us. And we're going to wrap up the show here today as we are coming up on the end of our show. Guys, one more call for the Rumbles and one more call to share the show on your social media if you've liked what you've seen today. Guys, take this stream, pop it into your browser on Truth Social. On Getter, we love Getter. Shout out Jason Miller. Sean doesn't have the Getter beanie on today, but we love the Getter beanie. Shout out to Getter, Jason Miller, Kaylin, my friends there. Shout out to Truth Social, also an incredible team. And shout out to Twitter now with Elon Musk. Take this stream, pop it into that, and share it. Guys, that helps big time to get the word out. So we really appreciate you doing that, guys. We appreciate you because this show is for you and by you. We grow with you guys getting us there. So we give you the content, but you guys are the gasoline in the engine of the car. So guys, want to wrap up the show here today with a very strange story that I think sums up where the Democrat Party is today. And this one hits home because it's in New York where we're broadcasting the show right now, and that is Governor Kathy Hochul, who won re-election in New York. Governor Kathy Hochul has agreed to use human remains as fertilizer, as an eco-friendly solution for burials in New York. New Yorkers can now be king of the hill, top of the heap. It's a good headline, New York Post. Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul signed legislation on Saturday to legalize natural organic reduction, better known as human composting. That makes New York the sixth state in the country to greenlight this eco-friendly burial. Listen, guys, I don't care what they say about the environment or the fraud that is climate change, the money laundering grab that is. Using human remains as fertilizer is eroding values and fundamentals of our country. It's one more chip. It's one more break, okay? It's one more shot. The value of a human life, pushing abortion on you, pushing human composting. You think your body, when you're done living your life, you think you should be fertilizer? Absolutely not. They want to erode what it means to be an American. That's why there are Ukraine flags flying all over the place. They want to erode the meaning of life. That is why they push abortion. They want to erode the innocence of childhood. That is why they push the transgender agenda. And they want to erode your American dream. And that is why they send out our money overseas. Guys, I am so grateful for the support that you have shown this show today. I'm really appreciative here of you guys bearing with us here without producer Frankie, you know, to pop on the clips and the sound bites and all that. I know he's out there watching. And guys, I'm so grateful that you paid attention here in this show and bared with me as we deliver this State of the Union, if you will, for what I believe is one of the most decisive, pivotal years in the history of our country. Guys, thank you much for tuning into the show. You know, we always keep it America first, bold, and unafraid. I'm Mike Crispy Unafraid. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you back live tomorrow.
Thank you.